Production. Recorded live.
Hallelujah. God bless you all, amen, on today. Amen. Once again, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on another Talk Shoe segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. And today will basically be a continuation of what I had talked about last time. We're still talking about our identity in the kingdom. And it is very important that we know our identity and we know who we are, not just who we are necessarily in church, but who we are in God's kingdom and where we fit, because a lot of times a lot of people don't even realize, you know, who they are in the kingdom of God, and they live below or beneath their means, amen, and they begin to endure certain things that we don't even have to. I know that it's a suffering, you know, when it comes to the things of God, but some things come from ignorance, amen, and ignorance just means that you don't know something, amen, and the Bible says that my people, he didn't say the people, he said my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So what was God saying? God was saying that his own people, the one he made in his image, the ones that are walking with him, he said there's certain things that they don't even realize or know, and it's causing them to perish spiritually. So as we discover, continue to discover who we are in God's kingdom, amen, then we'll begin to walk accordingly. Because one thing about it is that the enemy plays upon us not knowing certain things. The enemy plays upon that, and you know, as we see, you know, a lot of people don't even know their authority in Christ. You know, understand that, you know, as a believer, you have the authority to cast out devils. As a believer, you have the authority to lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. It didn't say that was just for the fivefold ministry. It says that this is for the believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Understand that I've been quoting that scripture a lot because before we can become an apostle, before we can become a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or whatever else that we want to become, or whatever field that we're called to, we must first become a believer. So I'm not going to be before you long, amen. At least I'm going to try not to, praise God. I'm going to try not to be before you long. But, you know, it's just a couple of things that the Lord really, really wants to share on tonight, amen. And first of all, I want to start off by saying, we're going to get more into who is actually Israel today. Amen. I know you got so many different opinions about who Israel is. You know, you got the ones in Israel claiming they're Israel. And then you got the blacks over here claiming they're Israel. And then you got all these different some of them mixed together, and you got all these different opinions, but we're going to find out, according to the word of God, how does God view who Israel is? Because the Bible says Israel was the one that was given the covenant. Israel was the one that was given the promises. Amen. Isn't that what it says? All of these things was given to Israel. And when God called Abraham out, he said that he was going to make him a great nation and, you know, make his name great, and but the Bible also says that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. He didn't just say one nation, he said many. Now, so it happened that Israel became a nation birthed forth from the lineage of Abraham, right? But if you read further, you know that Abraham, you know, also birthed forth the Arab nation also. But that's just two nations. Now, he said many nations. And if you look at the word nations, it talks about, really means nationality. Amen. So what he was saying was so many different nationalities are going to be birthed forth from Abraham. He's going to be the father of many different nationalities. Now, is that possible? According to God, it is. Amen. So we're going to get into that a little bit today. Amen. Because once we begin to know who we are and walk accordingly, it's certain doors that have been shut in our faces, certain things that the enemy has cut off in our lives, and even those things that we're entitled to as children of God. Now, I'm not just talking about material stuff. That's just a little small part of it, amen, because of the Bible says, "Ye which we prosper and be in health as our soul prosper." So God is more concerned about the inside than what we got. Amen. But there's certain things that, that was promised to us, and they're put on hold because we're not even walking in authority as believers, because we really don't know who we are as believers, truly. Amen. Some of us have a portion of it. Some of us have a portion, but we don't really have the whole thing. And I'm going to read something real quick. First of all, I'm going to start off by saying, okay, Israel was God's kingdom on earth, okay? God had a kingdom agenda all throughout the Bible. When he made Adam, he said, Adam, have dominion, right? You got to pay attention to kingdom terminology here. Kingdom words, that's a kingdom word. Like reign is a kingdom word, because kings reign. Dominion, all of those are kingdom words. So understand that he told Adam, he said, I want you to have dominion over the fish and seas, birds of the air, and the fowls of the air, and over everything upon the earth, and so on and so on. So basically, Adam had an imperial status of a reigning over the earth, okay? And then when he made man and woman, they were supposed to rule together, okay? They were supposed to rule together. And so God had a kingdom agenda. Even when he brought them out of Israel, he said, look, I'm going to make y'all a kingdom of priests. That means that every believer, God's intention was to give everybody a priesthood, because the priests are the only ones that had access to the things of God. Okay, they're the only ones that had access to the glory of God. But because Israel was rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-headed, you know, that didn't happen according to their way. Amen. The Levites had to do the things of God. But the priests were the only ones that had access to God, okay? So he said, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, okay? So you see the word kingdom in there, right? So understand that he still had plans to make them a kingdom, with him being the king. Amen. The king. Amen. And then Israel later on rebelled against God. They rejected the message of the kingdom. They rejected the order of the kingdom. The kingdom, even the message of the kingdom, when Jesus sent out when the first time he sent the disciples out, he said, go preach this to the lost house of Israel first. Israel had the kingdom first, okay? I'm talking about natural Israel now, because we're going to get into spiritual Israel in a second. It says, when the disciples were sent out, you know, they were sent out, you know, not in the way to the Gentiles, but Israel first. But Israel was rebellious from the time they came out of Egypt. They really were. And they also rejected the government of God by wanting an earthly king. And they wanted to be like the other nations. See, the Bible declares that God was originally the king over Israel, which he still is. But Israel started wanting to be like the world. I'm going to just break it down in modern terms. So many of us, you know, because we're not satisfied with who we are now, because we don't know who we really are called to be. And because we're not satisfied with who we are now, we want to be like the world, because we see them being successful. It looks like they have peace, but they really don't. It looks like they have everything that they could possibly want. And some of us, we want to be just like the world, okay? You can tell, because the church, we starting to dress like them. We starting to do our music styles like them. We copycat in the world. Understand this. God is a God of originality, okay? God can give you your own style, your own swag, like folks call it, amen. He can give you your own style. He can give you your own everything, because God is a God of originality, okay? Satan only copycats and duplicates, okay? So when we begin to copycat and duplicate, that's one of the characteristics of the enemy that we're picking up. Amen. And we have to, because we don't know who we are fully, we tend to copy the style of the world. And God is saying, no, I gave you a style. Come on now, everything you need is in you. You said the kingdom is in you, right? So we're going to begin to discuss who we really are. And once we know who we really are, then we begin to, you know, walk in the authority of it. Come on now. And when you begin to walk in your full authority as a believer, come on now, then you will begin to see God move in your life in such a miraculous way. Amen. But first, we must start off by recognizing that we can't be like the world. You can't be kingdom and worldly too, okay? You cannot be kingdom and worldly. You can't be rebellious like Israel, okay? Because understand this, in a kingdom, the king is considered to be sovereign, okay? The king is considered to be sovereign. In this case, God is sovereign, okay? He is to be worshipped, he is to be honored, and he is to be obeyed. So God sets certain rules and guidelines according to the word of God, because the Bible is the law book of the kingdom. Amen. And he set certain laws and certain regulations that we're supposed to follow. And when we break those laws, it limits our freedom in the kingdom. It does. It limits our freedom in the kingdom. If you break a law in the United States, they're going to lock your butt up. They're going to lock you up. And depending on your crime, they're going to lock you up and throw away the key. It limits your freedom. If you go in all these foreign countries, like England and all that, they're still being ran by monarchs, you commit a crime, they're going to lock you up. It limits your freedom in the kingdom. So when we sin against God, it limits our freedom in the kingdom. We're not able to move around and maneuver in the things of God. We're not supposed to. We're not mobile no more. Come on now. We're not mobile, but we're at a standstill when we break God's law. So it is a very dangerous thing when we begin to break God's laws. Israel was rebellious. They broke God's laws. So God did all kinds of stuff to Israel. And the Bible says that they enter not into their rest because of unbelief. What I'm saying now is unbelief is one of the top, fear and unbelief is the two top major things that keep people from going forth in their destiny and doing what God has called you to do. First of all, the Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, so that is not of God. Amen. And then when you move in unbelief and doubt, you're not going to move when God say move, because you're moving in doubt and unbelief. And when you doubt something, you're not going to move in it. You're not going to move in what you doubt. Amen. So I wanted to kind of like mention all of that because we're going to get into this thing, and I'm not going to be before you long. Amen. But I just want to go over some things real quick. I want to go to Romans chapter 2. Let me start with Romans 2. Let me start with Romans 2 real quick. And my God. Romans 2, let me see, I'm going to just read verse 28 and 29. It says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Once again, so don't go by your physical descent, the ordinances that you keep. It don't go by that. It says, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Amen. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we see now that God considers a Jew to be one inwardly. He don't go by lineages no more. You want me? I'm going to give you another scripture that proves it. Let go to Romans 9. I'm not going to be before you long, but I really want us to get this, and I'm still getting this too, amen, because I'm still discovering and learning my rights as a believer. Come on now. And I'm seeing a major difference even in the anointing of God upon my life. You know, I'm seeing a major difference. Amen. So when we get this, things will begin to line up spiritually and naturally. Amen. Because everything in the kingdom is subject to the king. And if we're citizens of the kingdom, we have benefits of the king. And then if we're children of the king, come on now, not just citizens. It's enough to have authority or benefits as a citizen, but as a child of the king. Come on now. That makes us rulers also, amen? And I'm going to get into that in a little bit too. But Romans 9, I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now, a lot of people think I'm preaching replacement theology and all that other stuff. That replacement theology stuff is half truth. It's half true. It got some truth in it now. All of it is not true, but it's half true. Amen. And it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, they are all children. So God is saying he's not even, just because you are a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, don't mean, come on now, that you're a real child of Abraham. Come on now. Jesus told the Pharisees, I believe it's in John 8, when Jesus said, those who sin are a servant of sin. And then the Pharisees go on to say, we're not a servant of no man. We are the seed of Abraham. Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, your father's the devil. You see what I'm saying? He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. Amen. So Jesus rebuked them then and there for it. You see, because the Pharisees back then, they was constantly going by whether they was physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but because of their physical lineages, they thought that they had some kind of clout or some kind of weight with God. Come on now. God don't go by your physical lineages. It says in verse 7, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. The children of the promise, check this out. The promises of God are spiritual because they're not seen, right? They're invisible. But check this out. It says, Isaac was the seed of the promise, but he was the seed of the promise according to the Spirit. Remember Ishmael? Ishmael was an attempt in the flesh to do it. But Isaac was the result of the working of the supernatural power of God. So if it had not been for the power of God, if it had not been for the Spirit of God, Isaac would not even be present. And if Isaac would not have been born, then Jacob would not have been born, and the 12 tribes of Israel would not have existed either. So understand that Isaac was the seed according to the Spirit. Ishmael was the seed according to the flesh because Sarah didn't believe God. Sarah and Abraham, they did it in the flesh because they did not believe God. They failed to walk in faith. If God said it, he'll do it. But they did not. And they end up producing a fleshly child. Come on. A son of a handmaid, Egyptian handmaid. And there's a deeper revelation in that too because you know, Egypt had a lot of religions and mysticisms and all kind of occult stuff in it, but I get into that on another. He went into Egypt and conceived, but That's a deeper revelation. Amen. I'm going to get into that another time. But we see here that Isaac was the promise, the results of the supernatural working of God according to faith. My God. According to faith, he was the promise by the supernatural working of God. Amen. So we see now that Israel, not everybody that's physically descendant of Israel, God considered to be Israel. Right? Now check this out. And this is going to be the grand finale here. 2 Corinthians, where is it at? 2 Corinthians 1. And I see somebody on the phone from Central Indiana. God bless you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to read. No. I'm sorry. Ephesians. That's where it is. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2. I'm going to start at verse 12. And it says, at that time ye were without Christ. Talking about the Gentiles, right? Now, I'm going to show you what the New Testament church consisted of. Okay? It says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the commonwealth or the people of Israel. Amen? They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants, promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, somebody say, but now. Amen. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both, and have broken down the wall of partition or division between us. So the wall of Jews and Gentiles both are broken down. Christ already did it. There's no need to try to break it down again. Amen. The Bible says Christ already did it. Amen. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. See, because it was a conflict between Jews and Gentiles, because the Jews always thought they was better because they had the law, the covenant, and they thought that they had God. But then the Gentiles was looking like, y'all ain't no better than we are. Y'all ain't follow your own law that y'all claim that y'all follow. Amen. So it was a constant conflict there. And it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man. Did y'all hear that? It says, to make in himself of twain, or the two, one new man, so making peace. It says, and that he might reconcile both, not just one, both. Come on now. I feel it. Reconcile both unto God in one body. Come on. I know I'm reading right. By the cross, having slain the enmity or the conflict or the beef thereby. Amen. And came and preached to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both, come on, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens. That is talking about equality. Come on. With the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being himself a cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Amen. So back in those times, the actual New Testament church consisted of Jews and Gentiles together, and they were equal. Say that again. They were equal. I had I was on Facebook today, and I read something that Apostle Eckhart wrote. And, you know, he was talking about who is the Israel of God, because there's a scripture in Galatians 6 that talks about the Israel of God. But he didn't just say, I know something in that scripture, it didn't just say Israel, but the Israel of God. Come on now, the Israel of God. So that tells me, first of all, God is spirit. Amen. So he's not talking about a natural thing, the Israel of God. And I really begin to sit down and think about that. I really begin to sit down and think about that thing because you know, I'm hearing a lot of things going on out here. And through what I just read, it tells me that Israel is no longer a natural people, but it's actually a spiritual people. And it's funny that he wrote that because I was going to teach on the very same thing today, and then that was a confirmation when he had posted that up there. Because understand that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the one that I was going to read, 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to just go to it real quick, 2 Corinthians 1. I know I'm kind of scripture flipping, amen, but, you know, it's something that we all have to get, including me. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20, it says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So understand it. He's talking to one of the churches here, amen. And we got to know that as the church, amen, God has broken down the wall of division and has made Jews and Gentiles one. So therefore, all the promises in the Bible that was made to Israel are for us. Why? Because God sees us as Israel. Because Israel is no longer a natural people, but a spiritual people. And as a spiritual people of God, God has made us promises. Seriously. He seriously made us some serious promises. Amen. First of all, starting off by Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to go there. Because he said all promises. So I'm going way back when he first began to establish Israel as a nation and a kingdom. Deuteronomy 28, and I'm not going to go into all of it. Try not to. And it says, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. First of all, we are a spiritual nation of people, okay? Because remember, like I said in the first beginning, the kingdom of God is spiritual, okay? The Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of God is spiritual. It has nothing to do with our natural lineages. It has nothing to do with what we do. And because the Pharisees thought that they was physical descendants, doing all the physical ritual cleansing and all that they stood in right standing with God. But the kingdom of God is spiritual. The Bible proves that over and over and over and over again. So that's part of what I talked about, you know, last segment. And I might get back into that again. I'm not quite sure. But understand this, that we are a spiritual nation of people, okay, with many different nationalities. Because remember, Abraham is our forefather according to the Spirit. Because the Bible says that many nations Abraham would be the father of, or many nationalities. There's so many different people in different nations that are coming to Christ. Amen. And the Bible says that we are heirs according to the promise. Amen. So anybody who believes in Christ Jesus becomes a joint heir with Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And heir is another kingdom term. Amen. So heir deals with inheritance. And your inheritance is based upon who you are. Come on with it. Amen. And it says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, these are just different promises, you know, that are in the Word of God that are really ours, you know, and all God requires of us is that we obey Him, that we live our lives according to the will of God, that we begin to walk in the Spirit. First of all, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you can't be born again. If you're not born again, you're not in the kingdom. I remember saying earlier, not earlier, but in the last segment, that in order to be a citizen of any kingdom, you have to be born into that kingdom. And being that, and I gave an example, like if we go to England, and if you go to England and you're pregnant, and you have that baby in England, that child is considered a citizen of England. Even though you might come back to the States, but understand that that child is a citizen of the kingdom of England, birth certificate and all. Amen. So in order to be in the kingdom of God, and being that it's spiritual, we must be born again in the Spirit. I estimate, and this is just my estimation, I say about 80% of the people that's in the church, or what we know today as the body of Christ, are not really born again. Because understand that we're born again of the Spirit. And that which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. If you're truly born again, it's an inward transformation that takes place. And understand this, what happens on the inside of you, it's going to show on the outside. Your conduct and your lifestyle are going to show whether you've been born again or not. Amen. So understand that we can't even receive this promise in the flesh, because God don't go by the flesh. See, in the Old Testament, God might have went by the flesh, but when Christ came and broke down the wall of division, now it's not according to the flesh, but it's everything according to the Spirit. It says, blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field. You know, we used to sing that song, we blessed in the city, we blessed in the field. Yeah, but a lot of people that sing that song are still walking in flesh. You can't be blessed in flesh. God is not going to bless flesh. Amen. God ain't about to bless no flesh. Praise God. It says, blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. And it goes on and on, and the list goes on and on. And it says, and I'm just going down a couple of verses. It said, the Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and shall flee seven ways. Understand that God promises victories over our enemies if we walk in His Spirit and if we obey the Word of God. Amen. Those that come against us while we're trying to do the will and the work of the Father, we already promised victory. Amen. It says the Lord will establish thee and holy people unto Himself. I'm just reading certain ones because I don't have time to really go into all of them. It says, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And it's not like we don't got no help, because we got the Holy Spirit. It's made available for us if we just respond to the things of God in faith and believe. Amen. Because we believe, amen, and we begin to walk accordingly, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to lead and guide us as we continue to move in the grace of God. And I don't have time to go back into the grace of God. Amen. You might want to click that segment, amen. That was really a powerful revelation that the Lord gave me on the grace of God. Because A lot of times we say that we are in the kingdom and we're not. You know, we just go to church. You understand? The church is not the kingdom. However, the church is supposed to be in the kingdom. Amen. And, you know, we have some very powerful promises. Matter of fact, I want to get into Jeremiah 31 real quick. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and it's basically talking about the new covenant that God began to make with Israel. Because, see, the old covenant was based upon, you know, pretty much based upon works and, you know, what you did as far as bringing your sacrifice and everything like that. But the new covenant is based upon, you know, who you are, the grace of God, and according to your belief. Because your belief in God automatically tells who you are in God. Because we all have an inheritance. We begin to step into our inheritance when we become born again. Now, it says, now behold, Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So you're talking about Israel as a whole. Amen. Because even though Israel and Judah split, but they was Israel first. Amen. So that's why the Lord addressed them as Israel and Judah, because they split. But they really were supposed to be one. Now, it says, he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So we already know that it's not going to be according to the old covenant. It's not going to be according to, you know, the law anymore. And it says, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Once again, God saying it ain't gonna have nothing to do with what you do, how many bulls you bring, how many drink offerings you bring, or whatever the case, how many sheep you bring. God ain't going by all that, because all throughout the Old Testament, God always stresses the fact that He don't desire sacrifice; He desires mercy. So I can just imagine God was already sick of the sacrifice being brought to him, because he wanted the people's heart changed. But something had to atone for the sins of the people, because according to the law of God, and once God decrees something, he can't go back on it. According to the law of God, if you sin, that deserves death. I mean, that's why Jesus had to come to be the perfect sacrifice for all, that every time we sin, amen, he sees us through the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ covers us. Amen. We begin to move in God's grace and His mercy. But I got into that in a previous segment. But it says, I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. It didn't say that they won't going to teach. It said everybody won't be taught how to know God, because everybody going to have a relationship with God. It won't be just the priest. It won't be just the prophet. It won't be just the king. But it'll be everybody can have their relationship with God. And I strongly believe that, too, that every believer ought to have a relationship with God. You know, not just the fivefold ministry. You know, not just you know, your pastor, you ought to be able to hear from God too. I don't care who you are. You don't got to be a prophet to hear from God. Come on now. You don't have to be any type of title, fivefold ministry gift, to be able to hear from God and have a relationship with God and to demonstrate the kingdom of God moving in signs, wonders, miracles, healing. The Bible says deliverance. The Bible teaches that deliverance is for deliverance ministry is for every believer. The Bible says all of us are supposed to be able to teach. Amen. And so, you know, when your pastor say, you know, if God speak to you, he's going to speak to me first, that's a lie. Because you're supposed to have a relationship with God on your own. Now, you may not hear what the pastor hear because he or she may be the visionary. And they got to hear God on how to direct the church and how to govern the church. However, in your own personal life, you ought to be able to hear something from God. Amen. I don't get all these leaders talking about, you know, you gotta consult me for everything that you hear. Now, when you begin to make major decisions in your life, you might need the guidance of your leader. However, they ought to root and ground you so much in the word that even if the devil comes and try to trick and deceive you, you already know the tactic because you have a foundation. So what it's saying here is that everyone shall know God from the least to the greatest. Saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. Amen. That sounds good to me. Because I know I did some stuff in my life. I won't always an apostle. I won't always an angel. You see what I'm saying? I won't always good. I did some evil stuff in my life. Some very evil stuff in my life. Amen. But I thank God for his grace. That he gives me favor that I don't deserve. That's all grace is. Give favor given that you don't deserve. So understand that, you know, all the promises of Israel are for the church, the real church. Amen. So I encourage everybody to begin to study their Bibles. Study our Bibles, man. You know what I'm saying? Find out what did God promise Israel. Find out exactly what God promised Israel, because all them promises are for you. Because once you accept Christ, you become part of that spiritual family. Amen. And there's a lot of authority that comes with that too, because the Bible declared that God promised Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that can only be done through his lineage. Come on now. So through us, the seed of Abraham, according to the Spirit, hallelujah, according to the Spirit, we're going to bless the nations. And that sounds kind of exciting to me. Amen. That sounds very exciting to me. So we must begin to know who we are and walk accordingly, because if we don't, my God, if we do not, we're going to continue to lose. And God has made it plain and clear, our part in it, all we got to do is believe. You know, it saddens me that, you know, the people of God live defeated lives. Understand, yes, you're going to have some disappointments. You're going to have some setbacks. You're going to have some of everything in this walk. But however, for you to live an actually defeated life, that shouldn't be. For nobody. So I want you all to really begin to walk in confidence and know who you are in Christ. Knowing that you have promises. God promised you certain things. And you got to put God in remembrance of his word. God, you said it. I didn't say it. I mean, I didn't make the promise. You did. That's what I do. I tell God. I say, God, you, Lord, you made this. You know, so I believe you that you're gonna perform it. You know, at the appointed time and in the appointed season. See, you don't have to. If you're truly walking in the things of God and you know living according to the Spirit of God, you don't have to put up with no kind of afflictions or sickness upon your body. Come on now. Sometimes certain things around us don't change because we're not walking in no authority. We don't speak enough. We don't pray enough. We don't prophesy enough. Come on now. Come on, Jesus. Because understand that when you know who you are and walk in the authority of it, that authority is going to come across in your prayer. That authority is going to come across in your prophesying, your spiritual warfare. That authority is going to come across in it. And see, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. And Satan can keep you ignorant, he can keep you bound. I'm going to say that again. If Satan can keep you ignorant, Satan can keep you bound. There's many folks I'm noticing that they're in bondage in the church, and it's not God. It really ain't God. A lot of sick folks in the church, and it ain't God. I'm telling you now, we are so far off from the original pattern that God has set in the book of Acts. You know that? We are so far off from that original plan and that original blueprint. It's a shame. You know, you got folks in wheelchairs in church. I don't believe in sick folks in the church. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. You know, you can call me super spiritual. You can call me whatever you want. But I best believe whatever ministry God has called, whatever ministry God calls me to establish, best believe, there won't be no sick folks in this. I promise you that. I promise you that. Matter of fact, God promised it in his word first. He said healing is the children's bread. Come on now. God said he'll send forth his word and he'll heal them and he'll deliver them. Come on now. So I believe totally in the promises of God. And I want to share this quick testimony too. And this is what happens. This can happen with every believer when we begin to walk in the authority of God, knowing who we are in God, and knowing that no demonic force will be able to stand before us. I was with my best friend Carl yesterday, and we began to I'm sorry, that's another situation. He had picked me up. He just came by and just scooped me up and whatnot. And, you know, I ended up staying the night at his house, and I had a. Next morning, got up, you know, was on my way back home, and he went by his brother's house to go get something real quick because his brother lived right up the street from him. And coming out the parking lot, there was a lady on the corner, and the Lord said, stop. So I told Carl, I said, hold up, stop, because he was driving. I said, stop, and the Lord, I rolled down the window, and the Lord gave me a word for the lady. And the Lord began to give me certain details about her life and everything. And, you know, she was worrying about a lot of stuff. You know, I told her, the Lord said, stop worrying. And then the Lord gave me a whole bunch of other stuff for her. And then I got out the car. You know, next thing I know, I'm out the car. And I began to talk to her, and me and my friend Carl. And then we prayed with her. She was going through some heavy stuff. You know, and then her boyfriend came up. You know, her boyfriend came up, and you know, he had some things wrong with him. He was kind of sick and everything like that. But you know, then we just begin to minister the love of Christ to him. You know, and that's one thing that the world is missing, and that people are missing, is the real love of Christ. You know, you can have all the authority in the world, but if you don't got love, you don't got nothing. You know, and I touched on love in the last segment too. The Bible says to know the love of God, you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, so when you begin to be motivated by love, your love for God and, you know, your love for people, then God will do wonders with you. But I began to minister to him, and God gave me some deep things about him. And, you know, we pretty much prayed with him and whatnot. And then another guy came over where we was after he saw us praying with him. And, you know, we prayed with him. And, you know, the Lord began to touch people's bodies, and he began to heal people's bodies. And then another lady that was walking by, she was walking by, and she was on her way to go get some stuff, right? And the Lord had made me go over there and stop her. And, you know, I prayed with her and everything, and the Lord, you know, began to give me a word, and he gave my friend Carl a word for her, and then we prayed with her, and when I tell you God delivered this lady right then and there, he set this lady free. She looked it different. She had a glow on her face and everything. The Lord delivered her, took the taste of drugs out of her mouth right then and there. The power of the Holy Ghost was shaking that lady so hard. But best believe, after she was done, she didn't go get nothing. She went right back home. You see, understand this, that the average believer is supposed to be able to do that. That's nothing to God. The average believer is supposed to be able to move forth in healing and deliverance. The average believer. And when I say this lady looked at dark, she looked at old and everything. Because a lot of demonic forces will make you look old too. But after, you know, the Lord used us and the power of God touched us, she had a glow on her face. She had joy and everything. Something that she have not had in a long time. Everybody don't want to be the way they are. They just dealt a bad hand in life, and they try to play it the best way that they know how. But if we begin to walk in the authority of Christ, come on now, we can change the lives of those that are around us, including our own. Amen. I didn't come with no deep, you know, revelation, you know, anything like that. But the Lord wants us to know who we are in Christ. The Bible says we are kings and priests unto our God. Kingly anointing. Kings always deal with authority, rule, dominion. It deals with all that kind of stuff. You notice Jesus, when he walked into the earth and when he was performing miracles, signs, and wonders in the earth, he walked in his kingly anointing. He walked in his kingship because the whole conflict of his earthly ministry was the fact that he was a king or not. That was his whole conflict with the Pharisees, whether or not he was a king. Amen. So you notice that priestly deals with the house of God and intercession and all that. Jesus did not even walk into his priesthood. He didn't fully walk into his priesthood until the cross and when he died and went to glory. Because the Bible says he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession. Come on now. Hallelujah. So the whole time Jesus was in the earth, he was walking in full dominion and authority. He was walking in the authority of his Father. He was walking in the authority of the kingdom. Amen. So God is calling us to walk in the authority of the kingdom. You know, and I heard somebody say this one time, and I repeated it before. A lot of times we become so priestly oriented that we neglect the kingly part. You see, because the priestly part always dealt with the house of God and the house of God only. It dealt with the ordinances of God and everything. But the kings were the ones that went to war. The kings were the ones that walked in dominion. The kings were the ones that subdued the enemies. So we have to begin to tap into that kingly side of us, amen, that kingly part of us that's on the inside, and begin to walk in dominion, conquering and destroying the works of the enemy. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. That's what he said, right? So understand that when you talk about kingdom, you talk about dominion, rule, and reign. And there's certain characteristics of Satan's reign: death, destruction, sickness, demonic oppression, possession. Amen. All that stuff. But when the kingdom of God comes, you can tell. Because when the rule of God is established in a person's life, devils are cast out. When the rule of God is present, devils are cast out. Folks are being healed. Come on now. You begin to receive peace. You begin to receive a joy, and you begin to receive the love of God. But you got to be motivated by God's love. God's love in you. You got to love God and love people. Regardless of how they treat you, you still got to love them. Amen. And that's something that God is going to stress in his hour, is love. He going to test our love walk until it's perfected. because you can't reach nobody and you got characters. You got character flaws. You got character problems. Amen. And love is the character of God. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to thank you all that are listening or will listen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. And next, I'm really planning on, because the Lord is putting this in my spirit very heavy, and, you know, it's really coming out now, too. I mean, even on Facebook and other places, I'm not trying to see this, but people are just talking about it now. I'm going to talk about women in ministry. Now, let me give you a nugget here. I totally agree with women in ministry. I do. All right? So, you know, I just want to put that out there. But I'm really going to begin to talk about women in ministry, their role in ministry, what a woman can be, and what a woman can't be, according to the Bible. Amen. But it is true that women can be in ministry. They can be in leadership positions. So I'm going to shut that lie down real quick. Amen. But I'm not gonna spoil it. Amen. I'm not going to spoil, what the Lord's going to give me. We're going to go real deep into that, maybe tomorrow or the next day. I'm not quite sure. But God is good, and he wants us to know who we are, and, you know, he wants us to begin to walk in who we are, you know. When we begin to walk in the authority of the kingdom of God, we'll begin to see some amazing things, you know. Try going out there praying for somebody, you know, especially if you have a passion for souls. Now, if you have character flaws, you might want to pray and ask God to work on your character, you know, or he might send you out there, amen, to train you in your character. You never know. It depends on how God deals with you. Just walk in obedience according to it. But try going out there witnessing to somebody. Somebody that's in need of somebody sick, try going over there praying for them. If you truly believe in the power of God, come on now, God going to show up. Amen. If you truly believe in the power of God, God is going to show up. He really is. He really is. You know, but your motivation got to be the love of God. It really do. You know, there is authority in love. And I just said a mouthful right there. There is authority in love. Amen. And I'm going to leave that at that. Amen. But God bless you all who are going to listen or who have heard. Amen. And I was not too many people are on tonight. Amen. Actually, I have one person that's on tonight, but that's good, you know, because I really wanted that tonight. I really didn't want, you know, a whole lot of people on tonight. Amen. Unless they was calling in for prayer or whatnot, but you know, I just put it out there anyway, you know, because people are hungry in this hour, amen. But the part of the reason why I really didn't want a whole lot of people because I felt like one too many people were gonna be on, you know, I felt that too. But to God be the glory, though, you know, God is so good, amen. Who do I have on the line? Is this Angela?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, my Facebook friend.
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am. The Lord had put you in my spirit, because I didn't know who was on here until, you know, I checked my Facebook.
Uh huh.
And I saw that you said that you was on. So I'm like, okay, praise God, this is who this is that's on, amen. But you have a very, very unique, the prophetic gift in you is very unique. And I'm pretty sure you already know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't understand. You know, because sometimes, see, God uses prophets very different. And see, different prophets move differently too, in the things of God. Not all prophets move the same. You see, and sometimes people don't know how to take you or handle you. You see what I'm saying? Because of the way that you move in your gift, because of the way that you move in the prophetic. You see what I'm saying? And but the Lord wants you to be encouraged here. Because don't expect to be accepted. Don't expect to be accepted, because there are a lot of people that's not going to like what you have to say. But if God put it in the mouth of the prophet has to speak.
Right.
Or else the prophet is going to be held accountable. Because I remember one time. You know, I was supposed to speak something, and I ain't speaking, and God whooped me. He got on me. You see what I'm saying? He's like, when I tell you to speak, you speak it. You know, so you are a real prophet in this hour. And the Lord is going to even begin to perfect some things concerning you, you know, on the inside. The Lord is even going to begin to perfect some things about your gift. He's going to perfect some things even about your character. He's going to perfect some things, you know, concerning your personal life as well. You know, I really feel like the Lord is going to change some things around you for the better.
Okay. I receive that.
Yeah. The Lord is getting ready to change some things around you for the better. Amen. And there's some things about you the Lord is going to change for the better. Amen. And that don't always mean that you're bad or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you pretty much understand what I'm saying. The Lord said you pretty much understand what I'm saying. But the Lord is going to begin to move you more so, you know, in the spirit. The Lord has placed some things in your spirit to do. He said. He's placed a lot of things in your spirit to do, you know, concerning ministry and concerning other things. And certain avenues are finna be open for you to do certain things, you know. And the Lord said that he's going to even begin to give you favor with man as you already have favor with him.
Okay.
So get ready, because the Lord is finna take you through some things fast.
Okay.
He's finna take you through some things fast. But as you begin to go through these things, my God, as you begin to go through these things, and in some areas it might be rough, some areas it might be smooth. You see what I'm saying? Smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. Some areas it's going to be rough. You see what I'm saying? And I even feel like you have been, you're coming out of a rough season in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming out of a rough season in your life. Notice I said the word coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Notice
praise
I said the
God.
Word coming
Hallelujah.
Out. That means that, my God, it's not going to be this way all the time. Ah, Jesus.
Praise
come on
God.
Now.
Hallelujah.
Shandala Bosia. Mm-hmm. Ah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. The Lord said change is coming, my daughter. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Lord said change is coming. Yeah. See, because for the most part, you stood. And you withstood. You see what I'm saying? And even times that you was frustrated, and even times you wondered why, you still stuck with God. Most people, the Lord is telling me that the things that you have been enduring, a lot of people have left him.
Help.
See, most people leave God. Most people leave God when they go through some of the stuff that you have been experiencing.
And see,
my God, the Lord has had me to intercede for you too. Matter of fact, I've been interceding for you the whole time I've been teaching, because you have a lot of warfare around you too. You have a lot of warfare, and it almost reminds me of when I had prophesied to this lady the other day. Well, really, it was word of knowledge and discerning of spirits.
That's the gifting that was in operation. We got to get these gifts right, amen. But this lady had so much warfare. And she had some people that was around her that was not for her. And it caused a lot of changes to go on even in her personal life. It caused some changes in her life, in her personal life, and she was feeling even certain things upon her body. You see what I'm saying? Understand that when people are against you and they bring certain spirits around you, you see what I'm saying? They carry certain spirits and they come around you and it begins to affect you physically because it's targeted towards you. But the Lord said in this season that not necessarily that he's going to stop it, but he's going to raise you above it.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
But God is going to raise you above it, woman of God. And right now, as our apostle, I stir up every gift of God that is to come forth in you in this season, and I command that it comes forth right now. I command that it begins to come forth right now in your life. Increase of visions and dreams, because the Lord is going to take you to a place in Him, in the realm of the Spirit, in the kingdom of God. The Lord is going to take you to a place in Him that you have not been, and the Lord is going to begin to show you stuff that you have not seen yet. But he says, be not afraid, because all of this that you've been going through and experiencing is to prepare you for the moment that you're going to enter into in this season. And the Lord says that he already began to show you some things now, but it's deeper than what you see. The Lord says that he's just beginning to give you a foundation. And you have cried, the Lord said, and you have cried. You have cried. It's been frustrating. But your struggle is almost over, the Lord said.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. See, one thing about it, I'm going to teach you on this one day, too. Every prophet lived out their message. I don't get all these folks that volunteer and want to be prophets. You know, first of all, you got to be called by God. But every prophet lived out their message. If you notice, Ezekiel, he had to lay on his side a certain amount of days, you know, on both sides for Israel and Judah. The days symbolized the years that they would be in captivity, and then he had to go up and proclaim the message. Ezekiel lost his wife, and the Lord said that this is a sign. And he told Ezekiel, I don't want you to mourn or anything. Isaiah had to walk around butt naked and barefooted. You see what I'm saying? Prophets live out their message. Your life is the demonstration of the message that God has given you. My God. And see, that's the same thing that you are experiencing now. See, because you've experienced a lot in your personal life and in ministry as well. You see, and you've seen a lot, and a lot of stuff really grieves and vexes your spirit, even where you at now. A lot of stuff grieves and vexes your spirit. You see a lot, the Lord says. But understand, it's part of the message that he's called you to proclaim. And whatever grieves you, I've heard this said so many times, and I agree with it, and it's true. Whatever grieves your spirit the most is what you're called to correct. And your trials were there to purify you. Your trials, all that was there to purify you. It was your fire. Fire is made to purify. So once you're tried in the fire, you shall come out as pure gold. But even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst of the fire, the Lord is there with you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
You've been shielded from a lot, I'm telling you. Because of your heart, your zeal, and your desire, and your hunger for God, you've been shielded from a lot. Because there's a lot that's been going on around you that's not God. But the Lord in this season is going to begin to show you not only the people, but he's going to begin to show you their heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's going to begin to show you the hearts of the ones that surround you, good or bad.
Okay.
Yeah, because, see, one thing about it, see, as prophets, it's good that we deal with other prophets or people with prophetic giftings and, you know, all that other stuff. And even as apostles, it's good that we be around prophets and other apostles. However, you know, we got to make sure we're around the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're around the wrong ones, the wrong stuff can rub off on us. And then God had to end up purging and delivering us. You know, especially they get the prophesying and wanting to start to lay hands on us and all that stuff. I don't play that lay hands stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, yeah. And God had me to say that, too, because don't let nobody lay hands on you. Yeah.
You should say that again now.
I said, don't let nobody lay hands on you here.
Okay.
Because either somebody have laid hands on you before or they're going to try to attempt to lay hands on you. But don't let nobody lay hands on you here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because the hand of the Lord is already upon you. He already got his hands laid on you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when the wrong person lay hands on you, you go through some changes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last couple pastors that have tried to lay hands on me, one of them was an apostle lady. And and they laid hands on me. I was sick as a dog. I was sick. I mean, sick. Nothing was wrong with me. And then as soon as they laid hands on me, my eyes turned bloodshot red, and my skin got like about two shades darker. I'm like, no, indeed, I got to play this off me, get this off me. So after God moved it off me, I was back to my normal self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very deep, you know what I'm saying, with the impartation. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so God.
So can nobody lay hands on you? The Lord wants you to know that, too. And
not even my pastors. Uh-huh.
What do you say?
I said not even my pastors.
Uh-huh. You already know that. You already know that. You're there for training here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, God is allowing us to be in certain churches. Those of us that God has really singled out, he's allowing us to go there. Go to these different churches for training. We're being trained.
Mm-hmm.
We're being trained so that way when God put us in the right place or when God set us out on our own, you
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying? We'll begin to really know and understand, you know, how things are supposed to go. You have a
mm-hmm.
husband?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is he in ministry too?
Yes.
He is?
Yes, but he's actually in South Bend right now, and I'm in Indianapolis. He's an ordained elder, but he's also called to be an apostle. So he's sitting under an apostle now.
Yeah, I was getting ready to tell you that. Yeah, he has an apostle call upon his life out this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy has tried to really, really, really fight y'all.
Yes.
On some things. He really did, you know. But like I was talking about the authority, you have to begin to rise up in the authority that God has called you to rise up in. I don't care if you got to holler, scream, get that devil off you, and get that devil off of y'all, and he will have to begin to do the same thing. But what one won't do first, you initiate it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the enemy has tried to really fight y'all on some things, you know, but the Lord is going to break all of that.
Praise
you
God.
Know. Ah, Jesus.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
ah, my God.
Do it, Lord.
And I'm not going to say too much about that, amen, but God is You take authority over that spirit of division here.
Okay.
Take authority over that.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know where everything else lies at. You already know that situation, everything that entails with that. The Lord is going to reveal that to you, amen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to use wisdom because we are on air. Amen. But the Lord is really going to begin to the Lord is dealing with him now. Matter of fact, the Lord say,
praise God, Lord.
God is dealing with him on some things too. But you got to let God continue to deal with you too.
Mm-hmm.
Him and y'all got to begin to begin to really move into things of the kingdom. You know, because you all are called to healing and deliverance, and that's the very demonstration of the kingdom itself. You know, healing and deliverance ministries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the devil hates healing and deliverance ministry. The devil don't care nothing about a church coming up, going up. He don't care, because most of the churches in America, you know what I'm saying? That's a little party place. Like people that go club hopping, they will go club hopping from one church to the next church.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he pretty much have a good time. He enjoy himself in some of these churches. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in big time mega churches. I'm not gonna mention any names, amen. But he hates real healing and deliverance ministries. And even in y'all time of separation, the Lord is gonna deal with him. And he's going to deal with you. You know, he might not tell you right offhand.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? He might not tell you right offhand. And it may look like some things really, really have not changed. But best
mm-hmm.
believe, the Lord is working on y'all behalf.
Okay, praise God.
Yeah, the Lord is working on y'all behalf. And, woman of God, you keep worshiping, yeah?
Okay.
You must worship a lot, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep
mm-hmm.
worshiping. You keep worshiping. And you keep praising God. And you keep declaring victory out your mouth. No defeat. Shakotabasia.
Okay.
But a victory. Ikandididiosha. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Ha. Satabasia. Mm-mm.
Praise God.
You are such a powerful woman of God. My Lord. And the Lord is going to even begin to unlock some things in the Word of God for you too. I feel like it's some things that I don't know if you asked the Lord or inquired of the Lord about.
Yes, I have.
I'm concerning something in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Lord is going to unfold that to you too. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember one time the Lord told me that, and I didn't even the Lord gave somebody a word for me like that, and the Lord didn't even open that up until like a couple of weeks later, some things a week later, a couple of weeks, some things a month. You see what I'm saying? Because as you begin to go through things, you see what I'm saying, then you know, as you continue to go through and press and continue to walk with God, then he begins to reveal things as you go. And the Lord is breaking some stuff off you even right now as I'm talking to you. The Lord is removing some burdens off you too. The Lord is breaking some stuff off you too, because it's been a lot that's been in your spirit, heavy, and there's a lot that's been upon your shoulders, but the Lord is breaking that yoke today. He's breaking it right now. He's breaking it right now. Mm-hmm. Ah, seketa bosia. Shandala bosia. And the Lord is even beginning to deal with the secret places of your heart too, because I'm seeing there's some areas of hurt in certain areas of your life, you know, because of certain things that you've been through and certain things that people have done to you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Certain things that people have done to you, even from when you was younger, growing up. You see what I'm saying? There's certain things that were said to you. You see what I'm saying? The Lord is even beginning to go into the deep places of your heart and begin to remove that hurt, because a lot of times, even as grown-ups, you see what I'm saying, we go through stuff, you know what I'm saying, even when we were younger, and then we carried into our relationships, our marriages, and stuff like that, and then next thing you know, all this stuff been laying dormant, and then at the point in time, Satan rears his ugly head up. And the next thing you know, it's like, bam, I thought I was over that. So, so the Lord is even going into the deep places of your heart, and the counsel of your heart, I hear the Holy Ghost say. I never heard that. But he said the counsel of your heart. And he's beginning to uproot some things.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because see, one thing about it, you really love God. And you will pray too. You gotta,
yes.
My God, you pray. My God.
Yes.
Ah, my God. The Lord said you pray. My God.
Yes.
You got a strong prayer life, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When you have a strong prayer life, I'm telling you that there's nothing that will not move in the earth realm. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, if you have a strong prayer life like that, I mean, God will begin to move everything in your way.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen the salvation of the Lord before, and the Lord said you're about to see it again.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mm. So he said you can rejoice. He said you can rejoice, you can have peace, and you can rest. Ha! Ikobashando. He said rest. He said rest.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He said, You can rest. You can rest.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Shande la la bo si. Ikora la ba sha. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, the Lord really loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord really loves you. He really loves you. He have not forgotten every tear that you cried, every seed that you sown. He has not forgotten. He has not forgotten. So you continue to stand. You continue to stand. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My God, woman of God, it's just a pleasure to have you on today. It really is. It's nobody but me and you, but I know one thing, it was God ordained.
Okay, praise God.
It was God ordained. So now, where are you from?
I'm actually from Benton Harbor, Michigan, but I'm living in Indianapolis, and I'm supposed to be moving pretty soon, like in at the end of May to South Bend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. But you let God fix that thing here.
Okay.
And there's going to have to be, I'll tell you once I end the recording. You're going to end this recording just a little bit. You stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
God bless y'all. I would like to thank y'all for coming out today. we're not coming out today, listening. That's just crazy. I thank y'all for listening and those who will listen. Amen. And once again, remember that, you know, God loves you. I love you, but God loves you more. Continue to stay kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, and continue to stay with a kingdom agenda. God bless. And they don't want to stop recording. That's a devil. I'm serious. It is. This thing do not. I'm pressing the end button, and it do not want to stop recording. Lord have mercy. Amen. Well, I tell you what, wow. That's the thing, man. That's all right. I tell you what, I'm gonna send something to your inbox. In your Facebook, okay?
Okay.
And we can continue this conversation.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. 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 Okay.